T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. And welcome back. Coach John Contreras with you to 3 o'clock today. The John Contreras Show presented by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Open 24-7 right off the 5 in Chula Vista. 7 Mile Casino. We got Bench the Coach coming up here shortly. And anybody out there want to try to take me down today, get into the rotation right now. We got a couple of Aztec tickets for you a week from tomorrow night when they play host to Fresno State at SDCCU Stadium. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll also announce the biggest fan here shortly, but this is an interview I've been looking forward to. This is an interview that I always look forward to. I've got tremendous respect for this man. I've told you the last couple of days, probably the smartest man that I've ever talked to about the world of sports. And I'm talking about on the field, off the field, and all the things that go in with the sports franchises and the sport industry. Great honor to welcome once again to the program, Jim Stieg. Jim, welcome. How are you?
Doing great. It's so great to hear from you, John. I mean, I can't believe how long it's been since we talked. I need people to build up my ego like that. It's nice to hear that.
Hey, before we get going and talking about, you know, the London rumors with the Chargers and, you know, some of the other things that are going on right now, catch us up on what you're doing.
Well, I'm playing a lot of golf, not playing it very well. finding out the time you want to play golf is about the time you shouldn't be playing golf, you know, when you get older. But involved in things here with our club, you know, I'm on the infrastructure committee in charge of all the roads, and I've been doing a lot of speaking in this area around here, and believe it or not, I'm doing a lot of work with the UNC women's soccer program. I got to know, when I first moved here, I got to know Anson Dorrance, who's mm-hmm. the legendary coach here, you know, greatest women's soccer coach ever. And they were moving into a new stadium, and he wanted to figure out a way to try to fill it. And so I've been working with him trying to get things done, and just won the ACC for the third year in a row, and off to the NCAAs next week. So that's been fun to do, being around the program and looking at the unlimited potential that you've got there with the women.
Great stuff. We're visiting with Jim Stieg, longtime NFL executive, and of course spent time here in San Diego, is the chief operating officer of then San Diego Chargers. Jim, I know you're so dialed in with the National Football League, and you know you spent a good number of years here in San Diego. I think while you were here, you were in charge of the organization. You guys had 48 consecutive sellouts, and I know you're disappointed that team's not here in San Diego any longer, even though you'd left the organization. But what do you make out of what came down the other day as far as, you know, the rumors about the Chargers going to London and Dean Spanos coming out of his office with that profanity-laced statement to the media?
Well, you know, Coach, I being around this, and particularly the last 4 or 5 years I was there in town, you know, when I was involved with the CSAG stuff with the mayor and everything, it can't be to the point that nothing happens per chance, you know, as it relates to the Chargers, particularly when Mark Fabiani's around, and a lot of it is orchestrated in some way, shape, or form. I think that this article that came out by Vinny Bonsignor, who I think we all recognize as a person that Fabiani had find it befriended, kind of beyond the kind word to say, you know, that Vinny would have written this article without calling Mark to get their comment on it. So somehow I just, you know, you kind of smell that there's something going on there, and the fact that, you know, you had the Fred Moss comments on in the paper over the weekend in Union Tribune, right? And then this breaks, and then you have the issues that took place with this. I don't think there's any way in the world that the Chargers. If they were going to go to London, I don't think the Chargers would be the choice, you know, for them to go there. But I think that this is one of those things, and maybe it's the fact is, how do you get out there and say, you know, we're staying in L.A., we're staying in L.A., we're staying in L.A., because that may be one of the things they think that's costing them in selling their PSLs or something like that. So I just get this suspicion that there's a lot of orchestration going on here about this. And it happens, of course, before they have a Thursday night game, you know, where they got national attention, that sort of stuff. And, you know, I think it probably backfired a little bit, you know, with everything that's happened nationally. I mean, I was just listening to Chris Russo as I was driving back to the house, and he went off on a rant for about 5 minutes about it. So, and you probably heard last night at the, the Wilbon show that he does on ESPN, they went off on it too, although it was ironic that they kept calling him the San Diego Chargers during the whole discussion. But I think we all enjoyed that when that happens. But, yeah, I think this was a little orchestrated in what was taking place. And, I don't know what the true purpose was, but I think you did a great job. I think I heard something last night that you did. You talking about the fact that going to London, I think, for a team is very problematic. You know, it's as simple as, I think you put it at the end of your statement, just look at the tax ramifications of the players, forgetting all the logistical issues you've got trying to play over there and bring teams over there and things like that. So I think that's way down the road. It is something I'm sure Roger Goodell wants to do, but it's a long ways off at this point.
Jim Stieg, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. Jim, tell me your thoughts on the Charger move to Los Angeles, knowing that the Rams were going to go in there and knowing that they were going to have to share a stadium.
Well, I just never quite thought that worked. I mean, I lived through, you know, my time in New York, you know, when the Jets moved out of Shea and then moved in as a co-tenant, allegedly, with the Giants. But the Giants were the primary tenant. You know, it was Giants Stadium that the Jets were playing in. You know, home games for the Jets at Giants Stadium never quite played well. And it was never a great marriage that took place then. You had two guys that liked each other. You know, Leon Hess and Wellington Mara were friends. And so that was about as good as it could get. But it still became a very big struggle. And the Jets were always a kind of a second-class citizen to the Giants. And there's always a number one and number two, and when you get in that situation where you're sharing the stadium. So I think that was a lesson that everybody learned. I'm not sure that the league was so hell-bent to make sure they got the Rams deal moved, got him out of St. Louis, got him into L.A., that they were willing to almost do anything to make that happen. And I don't think they ever thought that Dean was going to take them up on the option to go there. You know, and I felt for a long time that was his move. I thought this from, you know, the middle of the last decade, that was kind of what he always wanted to get done and chase that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But it certainly has not worked out very well. And it's I think one of the mistakes the league made this year was when they played that Steeler home game on primetime on Sunday night. that was a big mistake. Anyway, we can always know that Denver played 2 weeks before with a primary Bronco crowd in there, but that was a point-to-point broadcast. You make a national broadcast and everybody sees it, you know, it brings it up to even a bigger issue. So, I don't think it's worked out like everybody thought it was going to work out, and it's going to take a while for that to happen. But, you know, I know everybody always talks about the increase of the value of the franchise, but remember, the franchise only increases in value if you want to sell it. You know, so it's like the old case of the guy when you go out and buy your house and somebody tells you 5 years later it's worth $500,000 more. That's great. Maybe it helps. Maybe it makes you unhappy because you got to pay more property taxes. But it doesn't mean anything until you sell it.
We're visiting with Jim Stieg here on 97.3 The Fan. Jim, obviously at Carson, you know, they're charging a lot of money for tickets, a lot of money for parking. They say when they move into the new stadium next year, you know, the tickets are going to be more affordable. But they're having a hard time right now selling this PSLs. I talked to a guy the other day with a very prominent company, and they have 8-season tickets. And when they got ready to, you know, purchase or at least talk to the Chargers about it, it was going to, for the PSLs, it was going to, for the 8 tickets, it was going to cost them $160,000. And this is a pretty a national company, and they said they bowed out. And I would imagine there are a lot of other companies that are going to bow out.
Well, I think the whole PSL concept, which, you know, was really started here in Charlotte, you know, with when the Panthers, when they built their stadium back in the mid-90s, was that was the beginning of the PSL thing. And I think it ran for a while, but it's kind of run its course now, because even in the case of the Panthers, their PSLs weren't as permanent, yet all of a sudden about 3 or 4 years ago, they said, oh, well, it expired. You know, we got to go out and charge it again because we want to renovate the stadium again. So, yeah, I think that idea is, you know, the Giants, I take us at the lead thing, they always said that they had X number of people that were on their wait list and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, the Giants fans were as loyal as any fans you could ever have. And all of a sudden they went out with their PSLs and they struggled to sell PSLs. And so I think it's not an easy thing to get done, particularly when you're going into a new market, when you don't have any loyalty about it. So I think it's very difficult to get there. And I always said the toughest thing with this is how much does it cost you to go to a game? And for somebody, if they're making $50,000 or $60,000 a year, even without the PSLs, to shell out $2,000 to go to, you know, 2 football games a year, or to go to, you know, 2 season tickets, that's a lot of their disposable income after tax. So I think it always has to, and that's a problem the NFL's got across the board.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you this. You think Roger Goodell, you worked in that office long before Goodell did, and for many years while Goodell was in the office, not in the commissioner's role, but do you think he's embarrassed about what's going on in L.A.?
Yeah, I think privately he probably wishes he could figure out a way to handle it differently, because he knows that's probably going to be part of his legacy, is what happened in L.A. Roger was put in charge of the L.A. project back in the mid-90s, you know, and obviously it took till 3 years ago for it to come to fruition. But I think he knows that's part of his legacy when he's evaluated, after he's done with his career, what happened. Right now, you know, we're not going to know how successful that's going to be for another 3 or 4 years.
You know, the last question I would have for you, you were on that CSAG committee, and I remember I was so excited when you got named along with 8 other people. I figured, boy, if Jim Stieg's on this committee and we can't get a stadium here, then I guess we're just not destined to get a stadium. Well, we don't have a stadium, and that, we're sitting here now still trying to figure out how we could get a stadium down the road. If you were able to have your crystal ball and put together an idea for a stadium in San Diego, how would you go about doing it?
Well, I thought the plan we had with the CSAG was a pretty good one. You know, as far as, you know, that property there, which I know we always talk about it being 166 acres, and in reality it's 211 acres because there's 45 acres around it that can be done with. And there were a lot of ways to get things done, you know, working with the state to help with environmental protection stuff around San Diego River, and, you know, that sort of stuff. I think you can sell the original plan that Dean had back in 04 and 05 was a great plan. You know, let us sell off part of the land and pay for the stadium and have somebody privately finance the stadium in some way, shape, or form. Now, stadiums aren't $450 million like they were in 04 and 05. They're now at least, you know, and a San Diego stadium is probably going to be cheaper than any other place just because of the weather. You know, look at how it's designed right now and the energy you can take because you're not worried about it raining or snowing or anything like that. So I think that there's something to be done. It can be done. It is a little bit cheaper, but what's that cheaper? You know, $500 million cheaper. It's still $1.5 billion, $1.5 billion, $1.7 billion or something like that. But I think the property value that we assessed it at was like a $3 million an acre if it was entitled. And if you ever got that and you sold some of that off, you could help pay for a lot of it. And that original plan in 04, 05 was a great plan. It just, you know, we had a Gary in the middle of it and stuff like that, which caused a lot of problems. And so I think that was a way to get it. I think the site is a great site. It was you know, where else are you going to, where else could you put a site that you had two major roadways, right? And then you were talking about the fact, what was it, the Purple Line is going to be built along there, you know, to, for mass transit. So, and you, you already have mass transit there as a site, you know, the trolley. So it was just such a great site that could be done so much with. But I think there's somebody that could come in there and do something and sell it off. I look at the, what happened, first times I remember going to San Diego, and you and I didn't know each other back in those days, but that old property, it was the Fenton property, which I guess now was called the Fenton Marketplace.
Right.
Remember, that was just a barren piece of land.
Yeah.
And we put the NFL Experience there back in 88 because it was just nothing. And look what happened with that. You know, what's going on there, and then across the street, all the development that happened there. So there was a, there's a way to fund it to get there. And I think we came up with some ideas, some of which were going to be dependent on paying rent, you know, and what you're going to do with parking and stuff like that. But I still think that's the way to go. I mean, times have changed. It's been, what, 5 or 6 years since CSAG, 5 years since we did that. So a lot of things would have to be looked at again. But I still think that's the best site. Where, I don't know where else you're going to find 80 acres to be able to put a stadium.
Yeah, no.
You know,
no,
minimum of stadiums is going to take you 30, 35 acres.
Yeah, no question about that. Hey, Jim, we'll do this again. Tell Jill I said hello, and great to hear your voice, and always puts a smile on my face when you and I are chatting.
Well, we got to do it sometime. We got to get back and talk baseball one of these days, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Still our old passions, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Jim, have a great day, and good luck with the soccer.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Coach.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.